This conference will now be recorded.
Hello and welcome to this month's GRN webinar, The View from Campus, Lessons from 2020. A year we'd rather forget, but some very useful insights nonetheless, this time from universities. And hopefully you're all hydrated, caffeinated, and ready for the next 40 or 45 minutes or so. For those who don't know me, my name's Dan Hawes. I'm the GRB Group co-founder. I co-founded the GRB Group back in 1997 after graduating in business studies from Brighton University. The GRB Group have now grown to become the go-to platform for high caliber university students, recent graduates, alumni and recruiters. We've got over 40 staff, over 1,800 clients, covering all sectors, companies like Post Office, IBM, Unilever and Ocado, to name but a few big names, but also several fast-growing SMEs that need graduate talent. In that time, our recruitment experts have successfully matched over 8,000 graduates with full-time graduate or executive level jobs. Now, the GRB Group has changed in the last year, and I wouldn't normally talk about this much, but we've got a new look, and there are several new things that I'd just like to share with you quickly. So, Graduate Recruitment Bureau is our main business, supplying university students and graduates to recruiters, as I mentioned before, covering lots of different sectors. We do your traditional search and selection, but also a lot of digital first recruitment, so virtual assessments and the like, but also outsourced projects for volume recruitment as well. We also have GRN, which you're all aware of. Graduate Mentor was something we launched back in August to offer one-to-one mentoring for students and graduates with a range of professional mentors. We also have something called Rising Stars. This is our showcase of 50 graduating students for this year, to give recruiters a shop window, if you like, into some of the talent on our system. We also run a podcast called Student Diaries. I interview three students every month, and it just gives you an opportunity to see what life is like at university right now. We also have a couple of experienced hire divisions. So Cortex, supplying graduates with IT experience. Metrica, supply graduates with analytical experience, usually between 3 to 5 years. So we're able to source executive level candidates as well. And we also have several LinkedIn groups where recruiters and graduates can discuss topics. That's a brief overview of the GRB Group as it looks in 2021. So GRN, for those who are new, and we do have some new members today, welcome to you and also our returning members. We're delighted to have you all here for the webinar. To give you an introduction, it was actually set up by GRB back in 2009, originally just for our clients really, to talk about any issues around graduate recruitment and essentially kind of share best practice among our clients. We've since grown, we've included other organisations within the membership, and we have around 2,931 members when I just checked before, which is absolutely brilliant. A huge increase in the last 4 months. And the aim of GRN is to bring together HR advisors, HR business partners, recruitment directors, talent leads, in-house recruiters, that kind of level, to discuss current topics and hear from relevant and influential speakers such as we're going to hear today. By the end of it, we hope you'll have some interesting insights. And ultimately, by attending our monthly webinars, you'll get more information about what's going on in graduate recruitment. Not much happens without us knowing about it, and we're delighted to share and discuss these in this way. Members range from some big hitters, some FTSE 100 firms. So today we've got representatives from AstraZeneca, BT, NatWest, IBM, Thames Water, to name but a few. But also we're interested to hear about the experiences from SMEs, particularly those that are growing, that need graduate talent. And we make sure that we have representatives covering all sectors so we can share useful insights that are perhaps unique to the way certain sectors operate. As members, you receive invites to our monthly webinars, other special events, access to the LinkedIn forum, our regularly updated blog, surveys we put out from time to time, and a quarterly newsletter. Should you wish, you can become a VIP member for only £299 per year. And you can inquire about that with me, and I'll explain some of the extra benefits of being a VIP member. So who's in the room today? We would be at the Institute of Chartered Accountants in London. And the last time was last March, and you'd actually be able to see and meet people. So I'll just share with you who are in the room today. So I did a quick analysis of the job titles, and front and center, you can see early talent managers generally are in the webinar today, but also a range of different job titles. So for instance, we do have some university career staff. Welcome to you. And we're very interested in their insights as well. So a nice mixture today of GRN members in the room. So Lynn Hamilton-Gow, for those who don't know, Lynn is the head of student recruitment and marketing at the Institute of Chartered Accountants, England and Wales. Now, they used to kindly host GRN events every quarter. And as I say, the last time we were there in London was March. So it's been a while since we've heard from Lynn, and we are really looking forward to her insights over the last 12 months. So essentially, her and her team are responsible for marketing the Institute, the qualifications they can provide to potential students, employers and influencers, and provide supporting and engaging communications to retain existing students and employers in the UK and internationally. So we're delighted today to have Lynn. I'll let you take the floor in 1 second once I make you a presenter.
Thanks, Dan.
All yours.
Thank you. Let me just bring my slides up. Okay, so good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the first view from the campus for 2021. As Dan said, it's been almost a year since we were together, and it's strange to think actually that was my last ever face-to-face presentation, and actually the last time in our London office. So I could say things have changed slightly since then. Never in my wildest dreams would I think I'd be doing this full-time job alongside being a full-time teacher, with the highlights of my day being an Amazon parcel delivery and the odd takeaway from Costa. So yeah, very, very different times to where we were a year ago. So Dan and I started conversations about this session last year. What we wanted to do was have a quick look back on the year, have a look at some of the changes that have happened, but also get some useful insight from students and universities as to what's working, and share some of the concerns and challenges for the year ahead. So just to give you a little bit of background about where some of the information I'm going to share with you today has come from, in the last couple of weeks, and as recently as yesterday, we're still getting feedback from a range of contacts at universities, ranging from Lancaster, Liverpool, Loughborough and Lincoln, just to pick out all of those ones beginning with an L. And the student feedback has come from our campus ambassadors, of which we've got around 80 at universities across the UK. We deliberately left the questions quite open so that we could gather a wide range of feedback, and I've kind of distilled it down into 5 topics to cover with you today. So just having a quick look at the agenda, I'll give you a little bit of an introduction to who we are, just a quick whistle-stop tour, and then we'll go into the types of employer activity which have been taking place and what's been proven to be the most popular. We then asked students what they wanted to get out of their engagement with employers, and I'll share that. Work experience, and when I say work experience, I'm also referring to internships and placements. That's been a key thread that's ran through the feedback that we've got. And I know we've covered that quite a few times if you've been at presentations with us before, but it continues to be a very topical theme. We also got feedback from students on the types of skills they particularly wanted to develop as a result of the pandemic, and also feedback from careers advisors about what skills they felt that students needed to develop with the help of their career services and of employer engagement opportunities. And finally, we've got a bit of a look at student views on the future. So we do have time for question and answers and some discussions at the end. So if you just want to jot down any questions and then we can come to them, or you can pop them in the chat. I do have two of my team here with me today as well. I've got Lucy Randall, who looks after the student engagement team, who build relationships and deliver that activity to schools and universities. And also Jack Hedman and her team as well, who's kind of on the front line there, dealing directly with potential students and careers links at universities. So who are we? ICAW stands for the Institute of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales, which is a bit of a mouthful. Contrary to the name, we're actually a world-leading professional membership body created by Royal Charter back in 1880 and have been at the heart of the accountancy profession pretty much ever since. So 2020 was a pretty busy year for us, as I'm sure it probably has been for all of you on the call, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. So during the pandemic last year, we ran over 50,000 exams across 42 countries. And at the same time, we've been developing a new exam platform to help improve the experience of running those exams via remote invigilation. We've also moved all of our learning materials onto digital formats and launched new exam software, and all of those new initiatives have launched from January this year. Last year, we recruited over 9,000 new students to start their journey to become chartered accountants. So it's certainly we haven't stopped as a result of the pandemic, if anything, even more busy than previous years. But now we'll go on to our first topic, which is looking at the type of employee activity that students have been getting involved in. So I'm sure these will all be very familiar to most of you, but let's have a little look in terms of which of these have been getting the thumbs up from students and the universities that we spoke to. So most universities felt that the volume of activity had remained relatively stable. It's been the type of activity and the range of employers that have changed. They have seen some employers reducing their budgets, so switching focus in terms of the types of activities that they've been willing to invest their budgets in. So students and universities have really valued the opportunity to engage with a wider range of employers, and this has been from sort of local SMEs through to large international organisations. So especially those in more rural areas of the country where employers haven't been able to travel there and engage with them. A downside to this for students has been kind of the overwhelming choice, with some universities making the decision to narrow it down to employers who are directly offering roles. You may have experienced it as an employer, and we have, but it is getting increasingly difficult to get stand out in that quite cluttered space. So obviously interactive workshops are proven to be the most popular, and the opportunity to meet virtually real employees and hear from them. And most employers have switched from those kind of traditional recruitment activities to more skills development focused workshops. There's still been a key focus on attracting a diverse workforce, and universities have been working in partnership with employers to develop bespoke initiatives for those priority groups of students to help address those recruitment challenges, which have been made even more difficult, I think, in the pandemic. Panel sessions have been very popular, but breakout rooms have been more difficult to manage. Universities have reported that some of the standard employer presentations haven't really translated well virtually, and where they're not interactive, students have been leaving events after sort of 20 to 30 minutes. some smaller organisations and less well-known organisations have also struggled to get good attendance, and this is just around their sort of lack of brand awareness on campus with students. So next around, offering a range of contact channels. So this helps students who can choose a method of getting in contact with employers that they feel comfortable with. So some students are quite happy to put the camera on and ask direct questions. Other students prefer to remain anonymous and use the chat boxes. So that has meant there's been a lot more questions asked at the sessions, and that kind of feedback's coming back from the careers advisors. Also giving students the opportunity to follow up afterwards with personal contacts has worked really well. Recruitment process is always in there. They always want hints and tips on how to navigate through the employer assessments and interviews. Networking, which is quite a tricky one, but students have really been relishing the opportunity to be able to network, and whether that's with employers, industry experts, other students, they've found that really valuable. One big increase, and we certainly had a lot of requests for this content, is pre-recorded content that students can listen to on demand. This has worked quite well as kind of follow-up content for live sessions, but it's good in that we can provide sort of bite-sized chunks of information. It can be quite light touch for employers, and students can just access that content when it's most convenient. I guess one of the issues that we found is how we measure the impact of that particular piece of content, and how that's been received by students in that format as well. Students also fed back that they really appreciate recognition for attending skill sessions, whether this is kind of online certificates, that sort of thing, and flexible timings have worked well. We've ran a number of evening sessions which have been well attended. And finally on this one, sort of those sort of pre-bookable one-to-one and group sessions means that students are guaranteed a slot and they can have that personal conversation with the employers. There was just another couple of topics which I wanted to mention at this point, which we came up in conversations. And the first one is around careers fairs. So I think it's fair to say our own experience of careers fairs has been mixed. The team put a lot of effort into the setup and attending the event. Sometimes they've gone brilliantly. Other times they've been very poorly attended, and the universities that we spoke to acknowledged that the very nature of what careers fairs are about and being sort of noisy, social, sort of visually stimulating is very difficult to replicate online. So that would be an interesting discussion point to come back to at the end, to have a bit of a conversation about these types of events going forward. The other thing to mention that a few universities fed back on was the move from kind of bespoke individual university events delivered by employers to events which are being delivered over multiple universities or even nationally. And we have seen quite a bit of that, and that is indeed something that we are looking at doing ourselves to get that maximum engagement. Obviously, universities prefer to have bespoke and exclusive events for their particular university. So that's another conversation which would be quite interesting to have a bit of a discussion about at the end. So on to the next part, in terms of what students want to get out of their engagement with employers. There's a few key areas here. The first one is around how to stand out, and that comes up time and time again. But in this this particular bit of research, a lot of the questions were quite practical ones. So it was around how to show my skills, what to put into my CV and my application form, how to approach online interviews, down to what to wear, how to set up lighting, where what the environment should look like. So quite practical questions. Work experience, I'll come back to that. We've got a slide exploring that in a bit more detail later on. The next point is around feedback, and this came up a lot from students. So students are constantly wanting to learn and improve themselves, so looking for feedback on how they perform when they do engage with employers. They felt this is really important, and it came from just informal interactions through to how they perform in those more formal assessment processes. One of the biggest frustrations was their feeling of being ghosted. and getting no response from applications and no feedback, even when they've gone sort of part of the way through the process. Then alongside that feedback point, the other key theme was of wanting to attend employer sessions was understanding the employer culture and values. And many students talked about getting a feeling just from speaking to the employer representatives as to whether they would want to work for that company and whether they would fit in with their culture and values and vice versa. They felt that meeting current graduate employees and people doing the jobs that they're interested in was really important in deciding whether to apply, especially when those people had similar backgrounds to them. And this is something we've talked about in previous sessions with GRN. Ultimately, they want a job. So their main priority at the moment, and this is coming through loud and clear, is focus on getting a job. This has come through from the career services, student feedback, and our own experiences at our engagement sessions. Students seem much less interested in the kind of traditional awareness raising activity around the profession, around a career, or even around an organisation. And they want us to cut to the chase. How do I get a job with you? So I said I came back to work experience and there was a lot of feedback from this from both students and universities. So I think the university and students really valued that wide range of employers now offering opportunities, and there's some employers who didn't offer it before. And that might be because of physical office space restraints, which I've talked about, or for a variety of reasons, but they're seeing a more varied range of employers offering opportunities to them. But the key thing really is the accessibility. The virtual work experience, internships and placements have meant that a much more diverse group of students have had the opportunity to take part in these. So geographic reasons have been removed, travel costs removed. Employers have been much more flexible to work around childcare and caring responsibilities. So the feedback loud and clear from the universities was they are keen for employers to continue with these virtual formats. And as I said, we'll come back to this at the end to understand what people's plans are around the format of work experience going forward. In terms of feedback from students on their experiences, work experience, they were really positive. They really valued where they got the opportunity to do group work and interactive activities. They enjoyed, particularly enjoyed experiences where there was bespoke content relevant to that company or that industry. So having real life case studies they could work through and collaborate on was really appreciated. There was some disappointment where they felt that the content they were being provided with was stuff that they could probably source themselves on YouTube. But they love being able to collaborate and build relationships with employees and other interns across the globe. But they still feel that they're missing out on that valuable sort of social collateral that the work environment can bring. A couple of students mentioned that they enjoyed building relationships with those employees because it meant they got access to some kind of hidden LinkedIn future opportunities that they felt weren't advertised. So that opportunity to network and build their network was really appreciated. But they did find it's still difficult to find opportunities. And looking at the recent High Flyers report, about a fifth of employers who were offering work experience cancelled it in the pandemic last year, and the remainder moved them online or postponed them. And whether those postponed ones will still continue remains to be seen. And they fed back that sometimes the application process can be lengthy and repetitive, and that's not just for work experience and interns and placements, but also for full-time roles as well. So just some of the key worries. Interestingly, students are worrying that is virtual work experience as valued? Are employers seeing students who are putting virtual work experience on their CV as valuable as those who've actually been able to go to a physical location and interact that way? We've certainly felt this with the work experience we've run, and I know employers that we spoke to is, are we providing enough of a quality experience that's of value to students? And it can be quite difficult to measure when you're managing students remotely. And as I said, university worries and the hope that employers will continue to offer work experience in these formats post-pandemic, whenever that point may be. So in terms of these skills that students felt that they needed to develop through the pandemic, showing their best self in video interviews, and as I linked to this earlier, so simple thing, what to wear, the lighting, the environment, and actually getting feedback on terms of how they come across. So going back to that earlier point, even feedback on simple things, we couldn't hear you, it was dropping in and out, all that kind of practical feedback, as well as the actual content of the answers and the actual interview that they've had. The next was around application process tips. So they wanted to know more about the different platforms that employers are using, whether they can get some hints and tips beforehand about how to get the best out of those platforms. So resilience, and that's probably something which is key for the population as a whole at the moment, but they felt they needed to be really resilient to pick themselves up when they've been rejected or ghosted by employers, and continue to fill out those application forms and go through those assessment processes. Networking I've mentioned, and some of the careers advisors we spoke to have got real concerns that due to lockdown, students are struggling with even some basic interpersonal skills of making small talk and getting those conversations going on networking. And students have lost their confidence a little bit in how to do those types of things just through the lack of being able to meet people. Next one's around the etiquette of remote working. Do's and don'ts, how to engage during kind of work experience and placements with employees online, but also how to keep motivated and organise your work and your environment. And again, I think we could all probably do with a bit of help on that sometimes. And finally, demonstrating their skills. So some students are quite kind of disheartened and felt that they hadn't really done anything during the pandemic that's worthy of them putting on their CV, or they haven't been able to develop the skills, especially if they haven't had the opportunity to do any work experience. So some help in how to draw out actually what their skills are and some of the other things that they might have been involved in during the pandemic, and how that can bring some flavour to the to CVs and the application process. Finally, going on to a view of the future. So understandably, students are very worried. The career services are reporting sort of big increases in demand for one-to-one appointments. Reasons behind that quoted as being a sort of combination of fears about COVID, but also the career services being more accessible now, more flexible, so students are feeling more able to come and talk to them, but also just actually craving to speak to somebody different and have those conversations outside of the people they might be living with or family. Conversations seem to be much more focused on them re-evaluating their options, more questions about the bigger picture and the future job market, more increases in students perhaps looking for international opportunities once travel is permitted. More students are looking at continuing on to postgraduate rather than entering the workplace now. But for those students who are re-evaluating their options, there is an opportunity for employers who they might not have considered before to actually convince them to change direction. Some students who were looking at perhaps starting their own businesses are now looking to go into more sort of stable or what's perceived as more stable professions, such as sort of banking, finance and public sector. But then they're also having worries that perhaps their degree or the experience that they have had might not be relevant for that sector. Next one's an interesting one in terms of worrying what the world of work will look like for them. So students reporting that they are applying for jobs, but they're not quite sure whether they'll be working from home, remote working, whether they're going to be expected to go to that particular location that's specified on the job, whether there'll be more flexibility, whether they can look at jobs that are a bit further afield geographically than they might have looked at before, because there might be that opportunity to work remotely. So a little bit of confusion about what that world of work might look like for them. And then going back to the work experience again, there's a real concern that by not having experienced work, they haven't been able to kind of figure out or narrow down whether this industry, career or organisation is for them. And there was quite a lot of feedback about starting a role that they haven't experienced and then realising that it's not for them. So lots of concerns about how the lack of work experience might help them decide what they want to do and where they want to go. A big factor was around competition in the marketplace. So worrying again, they haven't got the skills. Worries that they are also not only competing against their own year, but also against the class of 2020 who might still be in a position where they haven't secured roles. The recession obviously creating potentially more out of work experienced candidates who've got more experience in those industries than those. But also students are now taking the plunge and applying for roles earlier than they might have done in the past. And again, go back to High Flyers saying that 4 out of 5 employers have received more completed applications than they did this time last year. So there definitely seems to be a surge in students making those decisions and applying for roles much earlier. And then finally, going back to kind of the key theme of all of this is that securing a role. That's the real concern. They're having to complete a lot more applications than potentially they would have done before. They're quite long application processes, and worrying about the lack of opportunities to meet face to face might mean that they can't show their full potential to employers. One other interesting theme that students have mentioned was their perceptions of how organisations have handled the pandemic has actually had a big impact on whether they would consider working for them in the future. So whether employers have demonstrated their values by putting the health of their employees first, how they've supported them through the pandemic, whether that's been sort of mental health support, technical support, helping them set up their own office and not pushing people to return back to the office really quickly. And there was feedback from them and from their friends who've experienced has definitely had an impact on whether students will consider applying to those employers in the future. So that's pretty much the end of the content, but what I wanted to do now is kind of open up the floor. I've put down a few discussion points from a selfish point of view, because we would like to get conversations going from both the university representatives and the employers who've joined us today around some of these points, but also feel free to ask any questions, start conversations about any areas or any areas outside of the presentation that you would like to have a conversation about.
Lynn, thank you very much for distilling 12 months of research into 30 minutes. So huge thanks to you and your team. We do really appreciate this, especially because none of us have been able to go on campus, really. You know, for GRB, we couldn't go to, you know, 40 career fairs. So to have these insights about what students and graduates are doing is really interesting. And I've been making lots of notes, and judging from some of the questions that have come through, people are really interested to find out a lot more. So I will address some of the questions now from our members. So one of my questions, I just want to get this one out of the way, because it's from a marketing point of view, it's really resonated, was you said that job seeking students weren't so interested in a brand and any awareness raising exercises. They wanted, in your words, for them to cut to the chase, which is quite interesting, because, you know, companies spend huge amounts of money raising awareness of their brand before introducing jobs. You know, it's part of a strategy. So that was quite interesting. And maybe it's born out of their you know, in anxiety and a greater sense of urgency to apply now, you know, and really get moving. Would you concur with that?
Definitely. I think, I mean, this is more for the final year students as well. And I think the reason we've noticed it so much is that as a professional body, we don't offer roles. So that's been a real challenge in how we position ourselves, particularly at careers fairs. And speaking to other sort of professional bodies, they've experienced the same as well. But students are definitely much more focused on employee engagement activity, which helps them develop those skills, navigate through that recruitment process and get a job. And a lot of the questions that we're seeing at events is very much focused on that end goal. Not so much from the kind of earlier years in university, are still quite open to exploring, and it's, I guess they've got a bit of time to think about it, but definitely these final year students are very much focused on how do I get a job with your organisation? How can I get through the processes?
Yeah. We're noticing conversations now about graduates, you know, securing work for the summer. There's a far greater sense of urgency, and particularly you mentioned on your last slide, the fears of competition from graduates from last year who missed out. So yeah, it's really had a knock-on effect. So the first question I've got from one of our members, Brian. Thank you, Brian. He's talked about your skill sessions and, you know, the increase in uptake in those. And he's wondering, are they all recruitment related or industry related? Are they about transferable soft skills, or what are the kind of hot topics that your skill sessions are finding most popular?
So the feedback on the increase in skill sessions was from university. So this is across the board. So they're finding that that type of content is what students want to engage with. In terms of what we offer, I can probably look to Lucy or Jack to talk about actually what is in our skill sessions and what the most popular ones are, to give a bit of context there.
Great. Yeah. Lucy?
Yeah, thanks, Anna. I'm happy to pick that one up. I would say that our most popular is employability skills across the board, and it links in with everything that Lynn's just been saying on how to prepare for interviews, the application process, and how to stand out amongst that. Obviously, we try and tailor our skill sessions to fit into the skills needed for chartered accountancy, but it's across the board, I would say. Employability skills, commercial awareness as well, the big ones that are standing out.
Great, thank you, Lucy. I hope that's answered your question there, Brian. We have another question from a member about students wanting a virtual employer work experience. Now, are they interested in doing it with an actual employer directly, or are they also using third party suppliers? Because some companies have filled this area with offering virtual experience.
Yeah, a lot of the feedback, and one of the companies that's been mentioned a lot is Bright Network. So I think there are quite a few third parties out there, and we've certainly worked with quite a few of those to work together with other employers, other professional bodies, to offer more of a varied work experience and not necessarily with one employer. And that seems to have worked well for students in our experience as well as employers offering directly their virtual work experiences too. So it's a bit of both.
Yeah, it's good that they've still been able to offer these rather than, you know, cutting them short. And I know particularly placements, you know, long-term work experience projects really took a hit, but smaller bite-sized work experience when combined can really boost someone's CV. So that's really good. Interesting to note though, that despite doing that, students are still wondering how employers will value it because they have done it remotely.
Yeah.
I mean, how are they selling virtual work experience back to an employer?
I mean, from my personal perspective, we've had applications in from students who've done virtual, and to me, there's there's no difference. We wouldn't value it any differently. And it'd be interesting to hear from any other employers in terms of what you think, and whether that's the same opinion. But I think students are worried that an employer looking at their CV will think, how much have they engaged with it? I mean, I think if somebody's put on that they've done a week's placement at an employer in 2019, and you know that that's been face to face, that's quite tangible. But for somebody who says they've done a week's work experience virtually, I guess it might be difficult for an employer to understand what the quality of that was, how much engagement that student actually had in reality with the placement. So yeah, it might be interesting to hear anybody else's views on from employers in terms of what they think, or whether it's just a perception from students that isn't actually reality.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to find out, because it would be a real shame if they are devalued for whatever reason. It'd be very interesting to know what employers could do to increase the value of their offering, I'm sure.
Yeah, or maybe it's just reassuring students that it's not a thing. They don't need to worry about that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the same for everyone, isn't it? It's not, you know, optional. This is the only alternative to get any work experience that, you know, apart from maybe doing other sort of delivery jobs or other online activities, you know, particularly with big firms, this is what students really now have to get their head around, and employers also. Okay, we've got another one about, you talked about personalization and how particularly offering several communication channels for students is great, but then also the follow-up on a personal one-to-one level has been very successful. Someone has asked a question about how you make a volume selection process more personal in this day and age.
That's a really difficult one.
Yeah,
and I guess it's much easier for smaller organisations who are only looking to recruit probably small cohorts of students, and the volume's much less. We tend to have sort of more of kind of generic inboxes where students can ask questions, and tend to utilise kind of social media for chats and that sort of thing. But I guess I'd look to maybe some of the bigger employers on the call to see what they do in terms of managing those kind of inbound queries from students, whether they do give out kind of personal details, whether it's more of a funnel approach to queries coming in, if anybody wants to comment.
Yeah, I guess with larger organizations, they've tended to look to automation or AI to handle huge amounts of communication with students, which we all know it's still question marks over how personal that can feel. For a smaller firm, it's a lot easier. You might actually speak to the decision maker over the phone, for instance, but it's still quite a challenge for recruiters to have candidates have a good experience, because we're now seeing lots of clients get huge numbers of responses, and it's how to manage that. Priorities. Yeah. Yeah.
There's an interesting, I think I mentioned it in there, about this kind of building the LinkedIn network, and I don't know whether anybody else experiences the same things. I get lots and lots of requests from potential students linking in with me, and there does seem to be a feeling that there's an underground network of opportunities that don't necessarily get advertised unless they've got the right contacts on LinkedIn. And that sort of thing, a feeling that they might, by having their as big a network as possible, they're not going to miss out on potential opportunities that way. So I think there's a little bit of an element of that going on as well.
Yeah, that's more important than ever. And I know universities make a huge effort in connecting alumni with students and recent graduates, and it does really help them give them a leg up, especially when they're starting their career. So yeah, networking was quite a big feature of your findings there. But also something that we've noticed as well in previous recessions, that graduates are quite risk averse. So, you know, setting up a business may not be on the list at all, but maybe even working for a startup or an SME, they think twice, and they'd much rather work for an organization that can offer greater job security. So we've seen lots more graduates wanting to work in the public sector, teaching, things like that, but also safer industries like banking and finance. So we've got a few members who are in that sector who, if they have any experience of finding, you know, different graduates approaching them or more than usual, be very interesting to get their feedback as well. I don't know if you've got anything to add, either yourself, Lynn, or Lucy and Jack, but I've gone through all the questions. I know we're all busy and we might have to dive out homeschooling or picket calls or other meetings. So what I'd like to do is encourage people to visit the LinkedIn forum, which I'll just share my screen. So you can all see there on our the GRN LinkedIn forum, Lynn, maybe Lucy and Jack also, maybe on the forum to answer any questions from our members that maybe they would like to do so in this way. So if you can make yourself available, that would be wonderful over the next 24 hours. No problem. Thank you. And we've also recorded this because we know a lot of members aren't able to make this, so we record it so it's available on demand, and I'll be uploading that to the GRN YouTube channel shortly, as well as all our archived webinars are on there as well. Just a final note, our next webinar is on Wednesday the 10th of March. We're running this on a monthly basis, so Wednesday the 10th of March, we'd all like to invite you along again. At this time, an employment law update. We haven't done one of these for a while. Lots of things on the horizon that recruiters and HR people might find useful. This time it's with Simon Block from JMW Solicitors LLP. I heard him speak at a recruitment event in London last year, and it's very, very good. So please book on to that for next month. Thank you once again to Lynn for sharing your insights from the Institute. Really interesting. It's been a while. We used to hear from you regularly at the Institute in London. We look forward to seeing you when the situation changes, maybe in the second half of this year, who knows. But as soon as we will be looking for ways we can all meet together face to face. So thank you once again, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Lynn.